Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message. It doesn't take much to feel isolated, to feel left out, to feel disconnected, especially in our household. And in the season that we're in, there's so many people suffering from loneliness right now. And one of the things that I do is I ask myself the question, do I feel connected and close to God? Can I hear His voice? When I read the Word, is He speaking to me? And He is. And so I ask myself, it's a reality check. Do I feel connected to Ashley and to my girls? Do they feel connected to me? I ask them, do you feel connected to Daddy? And sometimes they say no, and I have to do what it takes to draw closer to them, to close the gaps. And in this season, what we're doing is we're declaring as the people of God, Joshua 24:15, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, what Joshua's conveying is that my house is united. We are connected, and together we're going to serve the Lord. And the title of today's message is that we will connect. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you feel connected to God? Do you feel connected to your spouse? Is your connection growing? Are you growing closer or further apart? Do you feel connected to your children? Now, it's a reality check. Cultivating connection takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of energy, but it's well worth it. What's more important than the people that have been entrusted to you? Is there anything more important than relationships? True success is defined in my life by the quality of my relationships, starting with God and with people. And so in today's message, I want to give you some tools that will help you establish a culture in your home so that you can have some strong connections, starting with God and then with the people that have been entrusted to you. And so I have 4 points for you. And the first point is that we will listen more and speak less. We will listen more and speak less. Communication is essential to connecting. Now, if you're a talker, your challenge is to be quiet and to listen more. If you are quiet, your challenge is to speak up. One of the reasons why I fell in love with Ashley is because she's a great listener. She understands. She is non-judgmental. And so that's why I fell in love with her. But my challenge is to be quiet and to ask her questions so that I could hear what's in her heart. And so one of the questions that I ask her is, what's it like being married to me? Now, sometimes it's really hard for me to hear what she has to say, because I don't see myself correctly. I ask my girls, what's it like being my daughter? And I'm not defensive. I'm basically opening myself up for feedback. Why? Because I want to be close to the people that are in my household. Those are the people that I love most, and I want to be connected to them. Now, Stephen Covey says to seek first to understand, then to be understood. Basically, what he's saying is that empathy is needed because empathy drives connection. And empathy is basically putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Now, the formula for empathy is experience plus emotions equals empathy. When you understand someone's experience and how they felt about the experience, and you put yourself in their shoes, you're going to have empathy. Now, there was a kid on my daughter's soccer team that was defiant. He was ignoring the coach's instructions. Everything the coach told him to do, he would do the opposite. And I was watching. I'm thinking to myself, that little boy needs to be disciplined. He needs to be spanked. And the ¿quién es ese niño, right? I was thinking that, whose child is that? And so then I found out that that boy was being raised by his grandparents. He didn't have his dad or his mom. That's super traumatic for a child. I had more compassion. I understood the experience, and I just imagined what that would feel like, the emotion, and I had empathy. So I pray for that little boy now. I have compassion for that little boy. It's completely different. Selah, she is 9 years old. She was coming from home from school, frustrated, and just really tired and drained, and she had a bad attitude. And this would happen every day of the week when she was in school. And my first reaction is, go to your room. Don't come out until you have a better attitude. You're not coming into this house with that negativity. Be more honoring and respectful. Don't treat your teacher. Don't treat your teacher better than you're treating us. And so I would just get on to her, but that didn't work. Finally, I decided to seek to understand her. And she's an introvert, so she gets drained by being in school with all these people, all the classmates, and she's a really good student. And so she would just be tired of being on, and she would come home and she would just unwind and she'd be negative. Once I understood that, I had more compassion and I had more empathy for her, and it got better. But one day she came home and she was crying and she was upset. And again, my first reaction was to discipline her, but it didn't work. And she kept coming home in that season that way. Come to find out, once I finally sat down with her and said, "Mija, tell me what you're feeling. What's going on?" She told me that some boy was bullying her. See, I understood the experience, the emotion, and I had empathy with her, and we did something about it, and things got better. So if we, as husbands, as men, as fathers, if we seek first to understand, then to be understood, things will get better. Here's what James chapter 1, 19 says. It says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry." See, if we're quick to speak and slow to listen, we're going to be quick to get angry. So I want to encourage you to serve your spouse by listening, by seeking to understand your children. Seek to understand the people in your household. It's going to drive connection, and it's going to be super helpful for you. And I believe that the culture in your home is going to shift when you communicate more. So the first point is to listen more and to speak less. The second point is to celebrate more and complain less. It's important for us to establish a culture of celebration in our homes. Too often, without even thinking about it, by default, we have a culture of complaints. And complaints has its place. We need to complain to the person who can do something about the issues that we're having, but we want to celebrate more and complain less. Too often, we give off this vibe that we're tolerating God. We're tolerating our relationship with Him, and we're putting up with our faith. Same thing happens with our marriage. I'm just tolerating Ashley. I'm just putting up with my marriage. I'm just tolerating my kids. I'm just kind of putting up with them. And I fail to celebrate them. When we talk to other people, do we celebrate our marriage or do we complain about it? Do we celebrate our kids or do we complain about it? Now, again, there is a place for complaints, but we need to celebrate more and complain less. Now, we celebrate birthdays, big moments, graduations, we celebrate holidays, and I think that's important. In the Bible, there are seven festivals that were celebrated in the Old Testament because God celebrates. We serve a God that smiles. We serve a God that is happy. We serve a God that celebrates. Jesus tells three stories of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And each time each is recovered, there's a party. There's a celebration. And Jesus even said that when one person returns to God, the angels rejoice and they throw a party. They celebrate. So it is in our makeup. God designed us to celebrate, and I think that's important. The Bible does talk about complaining. Philippians 2, 13 through 15 says this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." Do everything without complaining and arguing. See, no one wants to be around a person that's always complaining, that's negative. On the contrary, we want to be around people that are happy, that are thankful, that are joyful, that celebrate. That's the kind of people that we want to connect with. And so if we're going to connect with our families, we need to learn how to celebrate. Psalms 50, 8 through 15, God is speaking here. He says this, "I have no complaint about the sacrifices you bring to my altar, for you bring them regularly. They were needed so that their sins could be atoned for." Verse 9, "But it isn't sacrificial bullocks and goats that I really want from you." God says, "I don't really want those things from you. For all the animals of field and forest are mine, the cattle on a thousand hills, and all the birds upon the mountains. If I were hungry, I would not mention it to you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. No, I don't need your sacrifices of flesh and blood. I don't need those things. In the Old Testament, they would bring these sacrifices. Verse 15, what I want from you, 14 and 15, what I want from you is true thanks. That's what God wants from us, true thanks. I want your promises fulfilled. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so that I can rescue you and you can give me glory. See, God doesn't want sacrifices. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. We don't have to bring animals to atone for our sins anymore. What we bring is a sacrifice. It's going to cost us something. We have to get outside of ourselves. We have to be selfless and generous with thanksgiving. It's a good practice to celebrate. It's a bad, horrible practice to complain. So Hebrews 13:15 calls this sacrifice that we now bring a sacrifice of praise. Here's what it says. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's going to cost us something. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that we should do, and I try to make this a daily practice, is to say thank you. Psalms 118:24 says this, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a declaration. If we start off that way, I believe that it sets the tone for the rest of the day. I love that when I wake up, I hear birds singing. They're not complaining, they're celebrating. They are happy, they're grateful for a new day. And if we do the same, I think it shifts the culture in our home. And think about it, when we celebrate, it draws our family to us. When I wake up, I wanna smile and I wanna say good morning. I wanna delight in my spouse. Drink my coffee when my kids get up. I wanna say, hey beautiful, good morning. How are you doing? I'm so glad that you slept well. How did you sleep? I wanna delight in them. I wanna be intentional about it. And here's some of the things that I do in my home. When I come home from work, I take a few moments to make sure that I'm focused on being present. I wanna walk in the door and I wanna smile. I wanna delight. When we cook food, I wanna make sure to put some good music on. I wanna dance. I wanna have a little feast in my home. Those are things that I do. My kids, sometimes they have little dance parties in the kitchen or in the living room. We play board games. We try to cultivate a culture of celebration because my kids, they're drawn to it. When I smile at them, when I'm goofy, when I'm silly, when I'm playful, they're drawn to me. And I think that helps. It really, really does help. And when it comes to my relationship with God, the more I praise him, the Bible says in Psalms 100, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to enter his courts with praise. The more that I do that, it shifts my attitude, it shifts my atmosphere in my mind and my heart, and it helps. And so what we want to do as the people of God, I want us to not tolerate each other. I don't want to tolerate and put up with my wife and my kids and the community and the church. I don't want to tolerate anybody. I want to celebrate them. I don't want to tolerate my faith. I want to celebrate my faith. And we can do this together. We're going to celebrate more and we're going to complain less. The third point is that we will compliment more and criticize less. If you think about the people that you are connected to, do they compliment you or do they criticize you? Now, there's room for feedback. I think we need feedback to grow. That's important. But we need more compliments than we do criticism. Because criticism often comes across as, it comes across as defeat, as failure. Or the other person could be thinking, I'm not good enough. I'll never measure up to your standard. If we're always criticizing, it comes across as coachy. And I've been guilty of that. But we want to make sure that we are depositing compliments, words of kindness and encouragement into their heart so that we can give them feedback. And I think that's important. And so what we do in our household is that we make it a practice and we talk about the things that we love about each other. I want you to think about a cathedral, a beautiful building. It takes months, if not years, to build it, to construct it. Okay? But it only takes hours, a day to destroy the building. So it takes more effort for us to build somebody up, to compliment somebody, to really think about what we love about them. Some of it's easy, you can say the obvious, but to really compliment somebody, you really have to think about it and put some effort and energy into it, and it's well worth it. It's easy to criticize. You can point out the bad. We can do that all day. But it takes more effort, and it's really us loving them. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we can compliment God. God is great. God is all-powerful. There's no way that we can make Him greater, but the Bible says that we can magnify Him. We can magnify Him in our lives. Here's what Psalms 34, 1 through 3 says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We're intentional about this. This is a good habit, a daily practice. It says this, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I'm going to brag about God's goodness. I'm going to brag about all that He has done in my life. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Let me read that again. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I love reading this because I have the opportunity to magnify God in my life, in my mind, in my heart, and to exalt Him above the circumstance and the situations that surround me. Now, I want Ashley to know that I'm her biggest fan, her greatest supporter. I want my kids to know that, hey, I'm going to encourage you. I'm on your side. I believe in you. I'm going to tell you what I love about you, and I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to build you up. And that's the kind of culture that I want in my home that connects us. About a week and a half ago, we had a bonfire on the day of rest, on the Sabbath, on a Saturday. And so here's what we did. We had this exercise. We had s'mores, and we were talking, and we were connecting. And the first thing that we would say is, here's what you need to work on, starting from the oldest to the youngest. So I went first, and everyone gave me feedback. They told me what I need to work on in my household. And then Ashley went, and then, you know, at the same time, once they told me what I needed to work on, they also told me what they loved about me the most. And I mean, it felt great. It connected us. So one by one, we talked about what you need to work on. Here's what we love about you. When we got to Phoebe, now she's the youngest one, she's 5. We started telling her, here's what you need to work on. You need to be more helpful. You need to pick up after yourself. And then she stopped and she goes, no, stop. She goes, I want the love part. I want to get to the love part. And it wasn't coming fast enough. She wanted to hear compliments. And we said, no, we'll get to that. She goes, no. Love, love, love. She said it 3 times. She goes, I want love. And then we said, we'll get to that. She goes, well, let me tell you what I love about myself. Phoebe said, she's super confident. She was going to tell us, and she was going to compliment herself. And the truth is, our kids love it. When I start telling them what I see in them, when I start complimenting them, they light up. It does something to them. It's like oxygen for their soul, the encouragement. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to establish a culture of compliments, of celebration. And I'm telling you, you're going to connect with the people that you love the most. The last point, point number 4, is to pray more and to worry less. Now, prayer is such a good habit, and worry is a horrible one. And we all deal with that. We all have concerns, and we all tend to worry more than we do pray. And prayer is often viewed as a punishment. When I was a kid, I got in trouble, and my brothers did, me and my older brother, actually, and my dad made us pray. So in my mind, I'm thinking prayer is punishment. But prayer is not a punishment. It's a privilege. Prayer is an opportunity to connect with God. Think about that. The God Almighty, the God of the universe, wants to spend time with you. He wants you to come to Him. See, prayer is an opportunity. It's not an obligation. I was reminded of this principle in our leadership council meeting, the have to or get to principle. In other words, we don't have to pray, we get to. We don't have to be married, we get to. We don't have to be parents, we get to. Anytime you have to do something, it enslaves you. It robs you of your freedom. If you have to do something, you can become very religious. When you have to do anything, it just robs you of the joy. But when you get to, it's empowering. It's freedom. I get to worship God, to praise. I get to pray. I get to seek Him and pursue Him. That's a beautiful thing. I get to be married and pursue my wife, and I get to be with my family. It's a privilege. And so prayer is definitely a privilege. The disciples, they noticed that Jesus would pray, and they knew that prayer was the source. It was His connection to the Father. And so they asked Him, teach us to pray, because prayer is super important. So how do we pray? Everyone wants to pray more. We don't pray enough. And I often ask couples or people that are experiencing difficulty in the household, I ask them, when was the last time? And this is not to make you feel guilty. This is to bring about a healthy conviction. When was the last time you prayed for your marriage? When was the last time you prayed for your husband? Do you pray for your spouse? Do you pray for them? Do you pray for your children? Do you pray that God put the passion, the love, the joy in your heart so that you can give it to them? Do you pray to receive grace so that you can give them more grace? Do you pray to receive more patience so that you can be more patient? When was the last time you prayed for them? And a lot of people just, they don't respond, or they say, you know what, I don't pray. So there's like a guilty feeling when it comes to prayer. But prayer is beautiful and it's powerful. And once again, we get to do this. So I have an acronym for you, PRAY. The P stands for present. We're going to take a moment to be present. We're going to be still, and we're going to focus. And Psalms 27, 8 says this, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to be present. Yes, I can pray driving to work, because prayer is an ongoing conversation. I can pray without ceasing. It's an ongoing thing. But when you are present, when you take a few moments to talk to God, it's a beautiful thing. The R is for reflect. When you reflect on God's nature, His character, His goodness, when you reflect on how He delivered you the last time, how He brought you from a horrible past, He gave you salvation, you reflect on your testimony, when you reflect on His word, what He's saying to you, the devotional that you're reading, when you reflect on the daily word that He has for you, it shifts everything. The A is for ask. Then you begin to bring your petitions to God. You tell Him what's on your mind, what's on your heart. You bring it to God. You cast all your cares upon Him. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. That's beautiful. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, prayer is an invitation. God invites you to spend time with Him, to receive everything that you need from Him, that you so you can connect with Him. The A is for ask. Ask and you will receive. It's a beautiful thing. The Y is for yield. See, when we spend time with God, we become more humble. When we spend time with Him, we yield to His guidance, to His wisdom, to His knowledge and understanding. We humble ourselves and we obey. And oftentimes, when it comes to our circumstances, God is more interested in changing us rather than our circumstances. So when we spend time with God, we're the ones that begin to change. We receive more peace. We receive everything we need in our lives so that we could glorify God in it all. So I want to encourage you to practice these principles, that the more that we listen, we seek to understand, if we listen more and speak less, we will connect more. If we celebrate more and we complain less, it shifts the atmosphere. If we compliment more and we criticize less, I'm telling you, we will connect. And if we pray more and worry less, we will feel more connected to God. And I'm telling you, people will be drawn to us. We are the people of God. I want you to think about that. We are God's family. God wants us to be connected with Him, and He wants us to be connected to others. And you have the opportunity today to be connected to God. You can be connected to Him right now. You simply just cry out to God. There's three simple steps. The first one is you admit that you have disconnected from Him because of your sins. Our sins disconnected us from God. That's why Jesus Christ came and He was a sin offering. That's why Jesus came and He bore our sins to reconnect us back to the Father. So the first step is to admit that you have sinned, that you have committed a spiritual crime against God. That's what's disconnected you. We've all sinned. The second step is to believe. Believe that Jesus Christ, He died in your place, and then He rose again so that you could be connected to your Heavenly Father. The third step is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if you want to make that decision today, that commitment today, I'm telling you, it's important to be connected to your Heavenly Father. That's where it starts. So let me pray with you. And you can pray a prayer like this, or you can repeat this. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned against you, that I have been disconnected from you because of my wickedness. But today, I believe that Jesus Christ, he died in my place for my sins so that I could be forgiven. Jesus rose from the grave so that I could be connected to God now and forever. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I receive God's Spirit now. In Jesus' name, fill me with love, peace, and joy. Thank you. I am forever connected to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was the first time that you prayed that prayer, I want to celebrate you. I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than being connected to God and with the people that he has entrusted us with and the people that we are living life with. And so let me bless you. I pray that you have an incredible rest of your day and an amazing week. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. I love you.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.